morning for gathering us into your name. Amen. And thank you for your presence with us. Amen. According to your promise. Amen. Lord, we thank you we can also read your word together. Amen. Lord, we live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Amen. Lord, we pray through this morning's word. Amen. You will speak to us. Amen. You will speak through us. Amen. You will speak to one another. Oh, through your members. Amen. Oh, we love you, Lord. Amen. We consecrate this time to you. Amen. We pray you also shine upon us. Amen. So we can walk in your light. Amen. We can have the true fellowship. Amen. With you and with one another. Amen. Lord, we praise you and we love you. Amen. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, saints. This morning we are covering Romans chapter 6, the whole chapter. Last week, we covered chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. I would share what I, my portion, and afterwards, that we all can share with one another. Amen. Thank the Lord, you know, the word is available to all of us, and we all can read it, enjoy it, and minister to one another. Maybe we can read Romans chapter 6, verse 1 again. What then shall we say? Should we continue in sin? Grace may abound. This is a question. Of course, this question is following something before this question, which is in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 20, we will see why Paul in chapter 6, verse 1, mentioned this question. Let's read 5:20. And the law entered alongside, that the offense may abound. But where sin abounded, grace has superabounded. So we see that he mentioned that where sin abounded, then grace has superabounded. Sin abounded, then he mentioned something before that. The law entered. The offense might abound. It seems God gave the law, and there's a consequence. The offense abounded. Yeah. Is the law bad? Of course not. But why? The law was given, and offense abounded. It's because that law has a function. The law has many functions. The law is, you know, one of the functions is the testimony of God. You know, what kind of person will make what kind of law? A robber will say, rob a bank is legal. You know, that's a robber's law. But God's law testifies what kind of God we have. You know, God is love, God is light, God is righteous, God is holy. And the law reveals what kind of God. But the law at the same time, it's kind of like a mirror. It exposes us. So if the law didn't say, thou shalt not steal, then whoever steal, you know, there's no law saying that he cannot do it. So the law exposes, then the more the law is there, the more offenses. So God's word is truly wonderful, you know. that's why in the beginning, I have some feeling just to share what I really enjoy in chapter 5. Chapter 5, it mentioned what's in Adam. Of course, mentioned how did offense came about? It's through Adam. Right. You know, there's a saying among some, you know, some people that once you are born, that you will you will grow old, and it's something very spontaneous. When you are older, or you know, you will get sick too. And in fact, I know many saints
they have a cold, you know, so many sins, you know, I myself got one, and so it comes along, you know, with the human life. And at the end, every man will die, you know. But through the word, it tells us it's not so. It mentioned death is because of sin. And in fact, I think the last verse of this chapter 6, it mentioned the wages of sin is death. So death is not something just, you know, it should happen. It should. It wasn't supposed to be death there, but the wages of sin is death. So this gave us a clear picture that what happened in Romans chapter 6. You know, in Adam, in God's creation, something wonderful happened. That man came into existence with God's image and with his likeness. But following that, something terrible happened. That is what we see in chapter 5. The sin entered through one man, through Adam, you know. So, in chapter 5, it also mentioned that sin entered, then death through sin. So there's a sin, there's a death. But in chapter 5, something more happened. It explains something more. With the sin, there's a judgment. Then there's a condemnation. And death ran through the one. So not only there's a judgment, condemnation, but death also ran through Adam. And all the people we are constituted sinners. So it's not just we did something wrong. In fact, our being is constituted sin. You know. And sin ran in death. You know. I know we sang quite a few hymns concerning the cross. You know. I'm very touched. I think we all are very touched. On the cross, Christ died. You know, they say they are different Christians. One kind of Christians, they realize Christ on the cross died for my sins. I think most of the Christians they realize that. And some Christians they are a little more. Christ on the cross died for me, not just my sins, for me. Then there's another group of Christians, they realize that Christ not only died for my sins, died for me, I died on the cross also. So today, you know, we are in this area. In Adam, it truly very bad happened. Of course, God created Adam, Adam was wonderful, and that part we inherit. But what's after that was not so good. And we also inherited. But in this portion, in chapter 5, there's a wonderful verse. Maybe we all can read that verse. That is concerning Adam, verse 14. I think we have 14. Let's read. Let's read it together. But death ran from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a type of him who was to come. Okay, the last part is truly wonderful. But before I continue on that, I want to mention something else. That is, in chapter 5, it also mentions something very, very interesting. That is, After man sinned, sin entered. But later on, law was given. Then he mentioned in verse 13. Let's read that verse also. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not charged to one's account when there is no law. It's very interesting, right? So Adam sinned, but because there's no law, so it was not charged to one's account. You know, there are some portions of the word we all have questions. One portion I had a question was concerning Cain killed his brother. I thought, you know, then God will come in and do something. Something terrible will happen to Cain, but didn't, right? For a long time, I couldn't understand. But somehow, this verse answered my question, you know. So, when the law is given, then it exposes, you know. So the Bible is truly wonderful, you know. The more we read the word, then we'll enter into the divine thoughts, you know, divine revelation, the divine truth. Then we won't remain in our natural thoughts, you know. That's why I really enjoy in Romans 5, you know. It gave us very clear picture concerning how sin entered. Then there was the offenses. Then was the judgment. There was a condemnation, and there was death, and there was even constitution of our being, you know, with unrighteousness, with sins. So all this happened is really terrible. But there's one phrase that Paul put in, mentioned what we just read, in verse 14, that Adam is a type of him who was to come.
Amen.
So Christ's coming was not something later on God decided, because Adam already was the type. So the type is like a picture. If someone, you know, we didn't see, we didn't know, the picture was shown to everybody, then the real person will come. So Adam is just telling us that Christ will come. So in chapter 5, when Christ came, the whole picture changed. You know, I listed a few items. There was the free gift. There was the gracious gift. There was the grace of God. And the free gift is the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So that's why later on you mentioned about where sin abounded, grace more abounded. So in Christ we received abundance of grace, you know, and we received the gift of righteousness. You know, it's truly wonderful. When Christ came, all the riches came with him. So, and then he mentioned that we will reign in life through the one man of Jesus Christ. You know, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You know, this is what Christ has brought to us. So that verse mentioned that we Christians, we are receivers, you know. We are not trying to do to improve ourselves, but we are just here to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Then something even more positive will happen to us. That is, we will be constituted righteous through Jesus Christ, you know. It's not that we will just do the right thing, but rather we will be constituted righteous. You know, this table is wood, made of wood. It's not just, you know, some of the table you know some of the furniture I bought. Then I found out only the top part, very thin part, is wood. The rest are not wood. So some of our righteous, we did something right, you know. That's only on the surface. Underneath, it's not righteous. But what God is doing, we will be constituted righteous.
Amen.
Through Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? We were constituted sinners, but now we can be constituted righteous.
Amen.
Only God is righteous. To be constituted with righteous is to be constituted with God. This is what the Lord Jesus said. I come that you may have life. Christ is life. That you may have it more abundantly.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And at the end of chapter 5, he mentioned that grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know. So it's truly wonderful that what our Lord has brought to us. you know, in chapter 6, last week we covered this first part. The first part is what I mentioned, you know. Not only Christ dies for our sins, Christ died for us, we also died with Christ. And this is in the beginning. And all this happened. We can receive all the benefits, in fact, is in Christ.
Right.
Apart from in Christ, none of this is ours. But when we are in Christ, we enjoy all the benefits. since last time we covered verses 1 through 5, I will just continue, then I'll maybe go back a little bit. Maybe we can read verse 6 together in chapter 6.
Knowing
this, that our old man has been crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be annulled, that we should no longer serve sin as slaves. You know, this verse, there's a companion verse, which is in Galatians 2:20. Maybe we can read that verse together with that. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You know, this verse mentioned about our old man has been crucified with Christ.
Amen.
You mentioned about knowing this.
Uh-huh.
This is the key word, knowing. In fact, the following section from verse 6 to the end of chapter 6 to 23, there are three key words. The first key word is knowing. The second key word is reckoning. And the third key word is presenting. And, you know, Brother Lee has a famous book, Normal Christian Life. In fact, he had three chapters on these three portions. Knowing, reckoning, and presenting. Each section, I don't know whether the editor did it, that used the phrase, the path of progress. You know, when we receive the law, we are on a journey, we should make progress.
Right, right, right.
And the brothers shared that this year is a year for the church here to advance.
Amen.
And to be enlarged.
Right.
And we need to advance in our Christian life, individually and also as the church, you know. Then this portion just tells us there's a path of progress.
Amen.
That we all should be on this path.
Yeah.
So this matter of knowing is crucial. we Christians, we should through the word, you know some of the truth, you know. In this portion is knowing this, that all man has been crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be annulled, that we should no longer serve sin as slaves. So we should know that our old man. You know, when the first time I heard this old man, I heard somebody talking in the subway, my old man. I thought was a Christian. Then I realized they're not talking about this verse. They were talking something else. And something else wasn't so polite, wasn't so good, you know. But we all need to know, you know, not that kind of old man, but our old man. Our old man has been crucified. And the body of sin has been made of none effect. You know, God's way is different from our way. Our way, you know, we did something bad, you know, then we should try to do good. God doesn't help us in that way. God's way is not make your old man try to do something. God will not help your old man. But rather, God will put the old man on the cross. And in fact, it has been put on the cross already. That's why he said, you know, right? Knowing this. That means possible we don't know. So this morning, we all need to know. Our old man has been crucified with him, with Christ. Now, this is what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. You know. In the book Normal Christian Life, Brother Nia shared, you know, concerning knowing and then later on concerning the reckoning, you know. Once you know, then the Bible tells us we need to reckon. Why we should reckon? Knowing isn't that good enough, but God wants us to reckon. So, reckoning, this word means doing accounts or doing bookkeeping. So you need to take, you know, do a, you know, some sense they are accounting major. So they do accounting. Accounting is always doing with the facts. It's not that you don't have something and you make up your, you know, accounts. Those are false, you know. I have 3 kids. They all have accounts with me. And I keep a book, you know. One is active, the other 2 are not active. You know, when they are, somehow they get some income, you know, a few dollars they give to me, and I keep the account. And so often, sometimes they will come back to me, how much do I have? Then I check my account. And sometimes they take money, so I reckon by, you know, minus. So God wants us to keep an account and to have a reckoning also. So the point Brother Lee was making was during the years of 1920 to 1927. And he was, you know, the Lord said we need to reckon ourselves. Maybe we can read that verse. That is verse 11, chapter 6. So also you. Reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus. So we need to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. So God wants us to reckon. And Broly was trying to reckon himself to be dead. And he found out, the more he reckoned, the more he found out he's not dead. So he prayed to the Lord, you know, Lord, you have to answer me, you know, let me see this, you know, otherwise I don't want to share. I don't want to serve. So one day he realized, just while he's spending time, he realized he's dead already. So God wants us to reckon because there's a fact. Then you reckon that fact. So we are, our old man has been crucified with Christ already. So you don't need to try to reckon to make sure it's dead. It's dead, that's why you reckon. So brother, when he saw that, he was so happy, you know. So he doesn't need to have own self-efforts. You know, Hudson Taylor also had the experience that he realized if he's in Christ, that everything's good. So he wants to be in Christ. Then later on he found out he's in Christ already. Because the Lord Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. The branches doesn't need to try to be in the vine. The branches are in the vine. The branches are part of the vine. You know, through this portion, when I was reading, of course, you may ask me, is your old man dead? You know, this is very real. This is not doctrine, you know. Sometimes, you know, things happen, you just found out the old man is there. So I learned one thing. Whether my old man is dead or not, I just say amen to the Lord's word. When the Lord's word said, knowing this, that your old man has been crucified with him, I say amen. You know, the fact doesn't change whether you agree or not. So we just need to say amen. And the more you say amen, the more it becomes real. So when you are doubting, oh my, you know, my old man was dead, but this morning, you know, something happened. I just lose my temper. My old man is there. So what should you do? Don't try to figure out. Just say amen. Just read your word. You know, later we'll see. The reckoning is very necessary because the Lord said, you know, our old man has been crucified with Christ. Then we need to reckon. We need to reckon ourselves to be dead. Because he's already crucified. Then we do not sin. You know, it's not that where sin abounded, grace has abounded more than we sin. Should we remain in sin? No. So we see the matter of knowing, and we see the matter of reckoning. This is for our Christian the path of progress, you know. That's why every day we need to read the word, you know. And this is in the last portion concerning presenting, you know. He mentioned present ourselves to God and present our members to God. So every day, I thank the Lord I can come this morning to the meeting. I thank the Lord I can be with all of you. I present my bodies, you know. If my body this morning is someplace else, you know, I may be doing something else, you know, with my old man. But when I present my members here, present myself to God, something happened. That is this portion mentioned concerning at the end, mentioned when we present our members as slaves to righteousness unto sanctification. You know, before we are in chapter 3, chapter 4, it mentioned about justification. But now, something more. Sanctification. Amen. You know. Justification by the Lord's redemption, by our faith, we are justified. But Romans, this book, is on Christian life and on the church life. So it leads us step by step, you know. We got justified, but that's not good enough. It's not good enough for God. Because God wants to sanctify us also. Right. To sanctify, according to the Bible, there's a position of sanctification in Matthew 23. You know, the goal in the marketplace is common. But the goal in the temple is holy. Because the position changed. And in 1 Timothy 4 also, it mentioned that when we eat, we pray. And that food is sanctified. The food doesn't, you know, by itself become a holy food, right? But rather, the food, the position was changed because it's for God's purpose now, you know. Where we live a life for God's purpose, then food, through our prayer, become sanctified for God's purpose. Amen. So these are positions. But The sanctification in Romans 6 is not just position, but it's also disposition.
Amen.
That means God wants to sanctify our being.
Amen.
You know. So God is working through His Holy Word, through the Holy Spirit. The more we contact Him, something within is changed. God is, you know, the Lord enter into our spirit, but the Lord is working to spread to other parts of our being, to sanctify it. You know, this is very real. This is by the transformation of the spirit, to make our being from something natural to something spiritual. Even to the extent, you know, I think we all have the experience that sometimes we contact some saints, you know, just by the saints speaking, you realize that saints has changed. You know, recently there are quite a few got saved. We contacted, and the last time, in fact, they were testifying. You know, they're being changed. Before they were quite often they are very low. You know, they are depressed. But after receiving the Lord, coming to the meeting, reading the word, exercise, serving, and their being somehow changed. This is sanctification. Today, God wants to sanctify us. Even our thoughts. You know, our thoughts, you know, if we are, our thoughts are not sanctified, our thoughts are worldly. Our thoughts, maybe to one another, we have, you know, all kind of, you know, concepts, you know, ideas. But when it's sanctified, others will realize in your thinking there's something not natural. In your thinking there's something divine. There's something more than just something good, but rather some divine thought, maybe in your thinking, maybe in your speaking, you know. Even in your loving people, you can love with your natural love, but sometimes you touch a person, this person loves you, you realize that's not just natural. There's something more. That something more is sanctified. The divine element can be added to us.
Amen.
That we can be a sanctified people. So at the end, the last point I feel is very practical, that we can present ourselves, you know. Last night when I got home, a brother texted me. His sister got saved. He was so happy. I was so happy.
Yeah.
The reason is he presented himself to the gospel meeting last night.
Yeah.
And he had his sister also came to the meeting. Of course, the presenting this word is not just something physical. It's more than that, because it's in resurrection. But even physically, someone just come to the gospel meeting. The word separate this person.
Right.
He will get saved.
Amen.
So last night was many got saved. We just thank the Lord, you know. So we all need to be in the church life.
Amen.
In our Christian life, touch the Lord and present our members to God and to righteousness. And our members as weapons of righteousness, you know. So thank the Lord. Today we are in this portion in our Christian path, you know, the path of progress. May the Lord, through His Word, sanctify us daily. And through the rich church life, that we all can be sanctified and to live a normal Christian life. And to live a glorious church life for the fulfilling of His purpose.
Amen.
Well, I just share this much, and it will be the rest, and everyone can share. Amen.
I'll take the mic.
Okay.
We have a few announcements. First of all, we will have a gospel meeting, English gospel meeting, on the 28th of February, and we have the invitations on the counter, on the service counter. So if you'd like to take some and invite your family and friends and coworkers to come, that will be the Saturday, the 28th of February. We need to pray very much for this. We have some saints who have been saved recently. They want to be baptized. We need to pray for them to be able to come, and then many more could be saved on the 28th. We would like to let the parents of the young people who are going to Harvey Cedars next Lord's Day know that we will have a meeting here by the piano after the prophesying time for about 10 or 15 minutes to take care of the ride arrangements and so forth. So all the families of the young people who are going to Harvey Cedars, if you could come up to the piano afterwards. We will continue our getting into this wonderful book of Romans and go on to chapter 7 this coming week. So be sure to pick up your morning watch sheet, and let's enjoy the word together for the meetings throughout the week, the home meetings and the meetings on the weekend next week. Now, as we dismiss to the different language meetings, how about we sing hymn 445, and while we're singing, then the saints can go to the different language meetings. Hymn 445, Take My Life and Let It Be. This is a hymn on presenting our members as weapons of righteousness. Amen. Hymn 445.